prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can't prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free.
Good morning, Truth Revolution. I'm Dave. With me, as always, is the Illuminous Jeff.
Illuminous?
Pastor Jeff.
Hey, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning. We're talking about something very interesting today.
The Da Vinci Code.
The Da Vinci Code.
Have you read the book? Have you seen the movie?
I've seen the movie, although it was a while ago.
It was.
And I knew we were going to do this show today, so I probably should have broke it out and watched it.
Yeah, dude. Come on, man.
Well,
no, I didn't either. But yeah, the movie, the book, I've watched or read both. Really good stuff. This was a while ago. It's a few years ago. But we need to talk about this because there are some serious, serious claims against Christianity in that book.
There are. And I'm not sure about the movie, although the movie is fairly entertaining.
Actually, yeah, it's actually really entertaining.
Well, it really kind of lost me there at the end. Yeah, I mean, because it just seemed like they wrapped it up too quick and neatly, and it was just...
Well, you know,
I wanted it to go longer.
You saw The Hunger Games.
Yes.
I heard that is a really good adaptation from a book to a movie.
And see, I don't read much.
Okay. You want to see the adaptation of the newspaper to a movie?
Yeah.
That would be more to your style?
That would be great.
Look, okay, so today we're talking about the Da Vinci Code. Our goal is not to destroy the book. Our goal is not to boycott it.
Right. I mean,
you heard us say, we've watched the movie. In fact, I want you to read the book out there. I want you to go to the movie. But don't stop there.
Okay.
That's the problem. Everybody stops right there. I want you to study to know if the claims are true. Just like we say here, don't accept the Bible by blind faith.
Right.
You study to know if it's true. Don't just accept, oh, yeah, you believe in Jesus because that's what everyone tells you in the world around you, or that's because of what your grandfather believed. No, study to know if something's true or not.
Right. Always ask questions.
That's right. The same applies to everything. Ultimately, we are on a quest for truth.
Mm-hmm.
And truth is the way things really are. I don't want myths. I don't want beliefs. I don't want facts. I don't want
facts. He doesn't want facts.
I want facts. Man, I really screwed that one up. I want knowledge. I want to know what I believe is correct, right? And that's what we're going to do today.
Hopefully.
If I can keep my English in line.
There you go.
We're going to seek the truth about Da Vinci because its claims ultimately mean the Bible's untrustworthy if it's right.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to know what's true or false about that. Hey, if you're listening out there, I'd like you to go to truthrevolution.tv, open your interweb browser, and punch those digits in the little browser bar. That's how we say it.
Yeah.
That's how we say it in 95.
And getting old school on us, people.
So, open your web browser. Check us out online, truthrevolution.tv. You can ask questions, send us compliments or harassments, either way.
We enjoy them both.
Yeah, we take anything we can get. Truthrevolution.tv is our website. We've got past shows, a bunch of stuff on there.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we'd like to invite you to Revolution Church this morning.
Yes, 10:15
a.m.
That is this morning. That'll be 1111 West South Street.
This is just a really weird show already this morning.
Yeah, it is.
So, yeah, we're talking about the Da Vinci Code, but we would like you to come to Revolution Church. We're inviting you. We're going to have Easter in a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you come to Revolution Church, get a preview before Easter comes.
It's going to be awesome because this is going to be our first Easter service in our own building.
Yeah, that's right. We've got our new building. It's rocking. I love it. Things are going really well. So, yeah, come on down to Revolution Church, 10:15 a.m. here in Salina, Kansas. And, we have a good time there. We do some music, some rock music. We do some for singing. We sing to God like that. I preach a sermon, which takes about...
He takes questions on the stage via text.
Yeah. If someone has a question, they just send a text message, and I answer that question while we go. So it's pretty nice. It's really kind of fun, interactive.
It's really techie.
Yeah.
If you're a techie kind of person.
Yeah, there's nothing crazy. We're not rolling around the aisles or anything like that. We sing, we learn, we go home.
Mm-hmm.
We have a good time. Anyway, it's kind of like the show.
Let me check you real quick. There's no rolling around in the aisles unless you're laughing.
Unless you're laughing.
Yeah.
That's right, because I make fun of Dave from stage almost every week. I really do. It's just like the radio show. Anyway, so back to the Da Vinci Code now that we've thoroughly...
Yeah. I don't know why this is a weird show, because we're talking about a movie adapted from a book... On the radio. We got all media covered.
Wow. That's awesome.
It is.
And you can learn about it on our internet later after we post the show this week. All right. Anyway, so the book claims a few things. It claims that Jesus married Mary Magdalene.
Right.
And that they had children. And that Jesus' descendants are on earth now. It claims that there's a group called the Priory of Sion. And they have the mission of hiding this.
Right.
Their goal is to hide the fact that Jesus and Mary Magdalene got married and had children. And that's the group that Leonardo da Vinci was supposedly part of. Emperor Constantine changed the Bible, the book says. And Emperor Constantine made people believe that Jesus was God, even though people never believed that before. So Dan Brown, who's the author, he said that if he wrote a nonfiction book, he would change nothing.
Really?
Yeah. That's a serious claim.
That is a serious claim.
So I want to examine these three major claims, which are, coincidentally, it's three major fallacies. and we're going to start. I kind of like this book because it makes these outrageous claims, and it really doesn't have anything to back them up when it comes down to it.
Right.
So, all right. So first, let's talk about the Priory of Sion, okay?
Okay.
A priory is like a monastery. It's a group of people brought together to protect something. And Dan Brown, he says that they were founded in Jerusalem in 1099. So, you know, about 1,000 years ago, okay?
During the Crusades.
Yeah, sure. And their job was to protect this huge, important, vast secret. And just coincidentally, when Bush was president, the Secret Service was, you know, they're charged with protecting secrets and okay. protecting the president. A janitor found a whole bunch of documents beside a trash can detailing Bush's trip, the times, the dates, locations, where he was in the motorcade, even where the nuclear football was.
Someone's getting fired.
Oh, yeah, they messed up big time. Secrets are hard to keep, right?
Right.
I mean, someone's going to mess up at some point anyway.
Oh, I can't keep a secret. Don't tell me anything.
That's right. So, what was the priority secret? They wanted to preserve the secret of Jesus' marriage to Mary Magdalene and that they had kids.
Right.
Members included Sir Isaac Newton, Leonardo da Vinci, and if Jesus was married to Mary Magdalene and had kids, that would undermine the Bible's claims. I mean, the Bible would be wrong for one thing.
Not Isaac.
He'd be lying for another thing.
Yes, Isaac.
Isaac, sorry. Well, so how did Brown find this information? That's the question.
Right.
How did he get this? How does he know the Priory of Sion exists to protect the secret, if they're really protecting the secret? Well, he says he discovered documents in the Bibliotheca Nationale in Paris.
Beside a trash can, I'm
sure. Beside a trash can that the Secret Service left. No. Those papers that he found reveal that the founders are members, you know, Isaac Newton and Leonardo da Vinci. And there's just some major problems with these facts, okay? First of all, here's the biggest problem. The Priory of Sion does not exist.
How do you know?
French law requires organizations to register with the government.
Okay.
It was not founded in 1099. It was founded in 1956.
Really?
So it exists kind of right now, but it started in 1956.
That's like 900 years too late.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sorry, but if they're trying to protect Jesus, you know, people, this secret about him being married, 1956 was the wrong time to start that.
No kidding.
Clearly, this organization did not exist in 1099, 1,000 years ago, like Brown claims. But he does remind us, well, there's older documents in the National Library proving that it did exist in 1099. You know, here's the truth. Those documents do exist.
Really?
They do. Now, here's the deal.
Dun, dun, dun.
My great-great-great-great-great-grandfather was a man named Samuel Huntington.
Okay.
He signed the Declaration of Independence.
Right on.
And, in fact, he was the first president of the United States. Now, I know, you're all looking at me weird. You think I've lost my mind. You think the first president of the United States is George Washington.
Don't be knocking down George.
But he wasn't the first president. He was the first president under the Constitution. You see, Samuel Huntington was the first president under the Articles. And so Samuel Huntington was really the first president of the United States.
Okay.
So anyway,
Looking at you dubiously. I'll research this.
Yeah, please do research it. And so now, if I get some forged documents up here, and they're forged documents that say Samuel Huntington was actually a king, and that everyone actually proclaimed allegiance to him.
Right. That'd make you a descendant.
I actually should be the king of the United States of America because I have these documents, and these are real documents. Does that mean it's true just because I have those documents?
Sure.
Dang it.
Let's just fall in line with everybody else.
Bed butt my
butt. Of course
no.
not.
Okay, just because
not.
I have a document doesn't mean it's true, especially right. if that document was written in 1956 or, you know,
or whatever.
So 56 was just a really bad year. My apologies to anyone born in 56. No. So look, the Da Vinci Code documents, they do exist, but listen, they were planted in the library by a guy named Pierre Plantard. He was a forger. This was his job. Okay, he made up the documents to say the Priory of Sion exist and that they started in 1099. He made it. He's been arrested for fraud. He's been arrested for being a con man. He wanted to convince people that he was in line to the throne of France. That's why he started these documents.
Wow.
So he started the Priory of Sion. He started it. Uh-huh. And he made up these documents about him being in the line of all these great men. And there's four reasons we know it's fake. One, Planchard's friends admitted to assisting in the fabrication. That's kind of damaging.
It is.
Number two, the authorities found letters from Planchard to others talking about how to make the lies up.
Don't write the letters, man.
Number three, the police found forged documents in his apartment.
Wow.
And number four, under oath, he admitted he fabricated it. So, I mean, he's admitted it. Friends admitted it. It's just, they made up genealogical tables. They list the priorities, grand masters. And the host was exposed in 1996 by a BBC documentary.
He was set up, man.
So Dan Brown, in The Da Vinci Code, didn't really care to enlighten anyone about the hoax. He just passed it off as truth. Despite the fact that the BBC, the French government, and pretty much everybody else knew this was fake. He even admitted it was fake.
Wow.
So this is Dan Brown's first big problem. His whole thing is based on the Priory of Sion, but it didn't even exist.
You know, it's crazy. This is the first time I've ever heard anything like this because nobody, nobody ever takes the time. Well, I can't say nobody, but, you know.
I did.
Rarely anybody. One out of a million is sitting right here, takes the time to actually research this stuff and find out what the truth actually is.
That's true. And people do the same thing with religion. Mm-hmm. They just let it wash over them and, okay, that sounds good. Right. I'll accept that.
Yeah. We don't want to do that.
The second thing was Emperor Constantine. Emperor Constantine was... He was the Christian emperor of the Roman Empire. Mm-hmm. You think we want to get into that right now? Or do you think we should maybe do something else?
Like maybe a Bible contradiction?
Bible contradiction.
I'm reading your body language here, Jeff. I'm thinking you wanted to do a Bible contradiction.
Bible!
Oh, boy. Bible contradiction today looks like a real contradiction.
Dun, dun, dun.
Pretty much almost every week looks like a contradiction. And all right, check this out. In 1 Corinthians 1:17, Paul is speaking here, or writing, saying, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel."
Okay, so Paul was sent to preach the gospel, not baptize.
Not to baptize. Jesus, however, in Matthew 28:19, says, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." So he's sending them to go baptize, and Paul says, "For Christ did not send me to baptize." What's the deal?
Well, come on. I mean,
I want the truth.
This is out of our mistake list. This is mistake number 19, not using common sense. And, I mean, Jesus said in general, I'm just thinking this through. Jesus said in general, your goal is to go baptize people and to teach them the faith. Paul says, in specifics, my job is not specifically to baptize people. His job is specifically to tell people about the gospel.
Okay.
I mean, that's all it is. It's just really simple. I mean, a general statement versus a particular statement. If I say, blondes are kind of crazy, but then you meet a blonde who's not crazy,
some pretty smart.
That doesn't defeat the general statement. And I'm not saying that general statement's true. Don't send us hate mail about that. But you get the point, right? I mean, there's general statements. Hey, go baptize in the name of Jesus. Everybody go do it. In particular, Paul's particular job was to preach the gospel. He was a missionary. This isn't a contradiction. It's just showing that different people have different roles. And although we're all supposed to go baptize and tell people about Jesus, Paul knew his particular role. In fact, what's really interesting is elsewhere in the Bible, we find out Paul did baptize people.
So he's lying.
No, he's just saying that's not his primary job.
Oh, okay.
Okay, his primary job was to preach the gospel, but he also baptized people just like Jesus said. And that's the answer for our Bible contradiction today. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
You got to talk more about the Da Vinci
Code?
Not our
sponsors. The radio station sponsors. If you would like to sponsor us, check us out at truthrevolution.tv. Send us a message. We're looking for some people to be willing to sponsor the show if you like
there
it.
You
it costs a lot of money. And the church was kind of talking about, do we want to keep doing it or not? So let us know. truthrevolution.tv. We'll be right back with the Da Vinci Code.
Truth Revolution.
And welcome back, Truth Revolution. Today we are talking about the Da Vinci Code.
Ooh, that was scary. Anyway, we're talking about the Da Vinci Code, and Emperor Constantine now is what we're talking about. Because the Da Vinci Code, Dan Brown, claims that Emperor Constantine changed the Bible. Here's what he says. This is page 234 of the Da Vinci Code, if you want to look it up. Constantine commissioned and financed a new Bible, which omitted those Gospels that spoke of Christ's human traits and embellished those Gospels that made him godlike.
Really?
Okay, so he claims that basically this Emperor Constantine designed a new Bible. Constantine, in real history, convened a Council of Nicaea. This was a large gathering of most of the church leaders from around the world at that time, right. In 325 A.D. Okay. And Constantine, Brown says, Constantine made people believe Jesus was God when he wasn't. Brown says that this council agreed to deify Jesus and rewrite the Bible because that's what Constantine wanted.
That's a pretty serious charge.
Yeah. Now, Constantine did a lot to change Christianity and how it was viewed in the public.
Was he not the one that actually made it a state religion?
Yes, he was, which I think was one of the most damaging things that ever happened to Christianity.
No separation of church and state there.
Our church comes from an Anabaptist background. Right. We believe, hey, if you're in the government, do your government thing. If you're in the church, do your church thing. Right. You don't need to get those two mixed up.
Right.
All right? So, not that Christians aren't supposed to vote or something like that, but I mean, just because you're the Pope doesn't mean you should be the governor.
Right.
Just because you're the mayor doesn't mean you should be the pastor.
Right.
You know, just do your thing. Do what God has called and gifted you to do.
Right.
Don't get the church and the government mixed up. Anyway, I'm about to go on a different rant. And you don't want to
don't do that.
All right. So Constantine did a lot, but here's an example. Let's say Al Gore wrote the Declaration of Independence.
Okay.
All right. Now that's stupid because Al Gore wasn't even alive then, right? That's just idiotic.
I don't think so.
And so the canon, the books of the Bible, they were used 2 centuries before Constantine was even alive. That's when they were basically bound and used as scriptures. Brown claims that Emperor Constantine designed a new Bible. It's simply not true. The Da Vinci Code has to say that Constantine made up a new Bible. Otherwise, we couldn't simply look at the Bible and say, wait a minute, he's wrong.
Right.
He has to say, your Bible's not even the real Bible. And so the author brings up a whole bunch of old documents and claims that they were the real Bible. Writings that the Da Vinci Code claims were the real ones were actually written in the 2nd century or later, like hundreds of years after Jesus and hundreds of years after the actual books of the Bible. They were rejected by the church, not because they didn't like it, but because these things were older. And the further you went away from Jesus' life, the more likely errors were to creep in about what was said. And so it's like, would you rather accept a firsthand count, of John F. Kennedy's assassination or a book that's written 200 years from now? Which one's going to be more accurate?
Firsthand account.
You always want the firsthand accounts. And that's what the books in our current Bible are, firsthand accounts, people who knew Jesus in person. But these other books that Dan Brown is saying we should use, these are written hundreds of years later. These people not only didn't know Jesus in person, they didn't know his followers in person or his followers' followers in person. It's just, how would you like if I started copying the Bible, putting in my own words and thoughts, and then claimed that it was the real Bible?
I think there's a warning about that in the Bible.
I mean, that's just stupid. You know, plus, this wasn't even done at the Council of Nicaea like Brown suggests. They didn't even discuss the Bible there. I mean, the Da Vinci Code is just way off base on this. Like, it's just it's hard to even refute because it's just pulling out of thin air.
Right.
It's like saying, well, did you know that the United States once fought a war with the country of Nuke Blockenstein?
Nuke Blockenstein?
And they hid all the evidence.
I used to live there.
There's no such place as Nuke Blockenstein. And so you can't, it's like hard to refute because, you say, well, we fought a war with Nuke Blockenstein and we hid the evidence.
Right.
Okay.
How can you refute that? Because it's hidden.
It's the same thing. Dan Brown's going, they hid the real Bible, and the real Bible says Jesus isn't God. Okay. the Council of Nicaea that he's talking about didn't even debate if Christ was God. They all agreed that Christ was God. Uh-huh. Their debate was whether or not Jesus was eternally God, whether he became God when he became when he was born, or whether God created him, or whether he was always God with
God the
Father.
From the beginning of time.
Right.
Yeah.
This guy's name was Arius, by the way. Santa Claus, St. Nicholas,
yeah.
was in this Council of Nicaea. And this is kind of funny. Arius was this guy who was saying Jesus wasn't always God. He, you know, God created him.
I think I remember
and,
this story.
Yeah, and we shared it here before. Uh-huh. And Saint Nicholas gets up. He gets so mad. He walks across the hall, slaps Arius across the face, or punches him. One of the two. And he gets put in jail that night because of what he did. So Santa Claus was
naughty. Santa was naughty.
So anyway, they vote to decide that Jesus has always existed. And Brown says it was a. This is a quote from the book. It was a relatively close vote. The truth was, the vote was 300-2.
Right. Well, nobody wanted to be slapped by Saint Nick.
That's not a close vote.
Right.
That's not a close vote at all. I don't know where he thinks. It just makes me like crazy. He's just making stuff up. So early Christian leaders like Ignatius, who lived around 100 AD, 200 years before Emperor Constantine, he called Jesus God. I mean, Jesus was always called God by his followers.
Right.
Actually, next week's show, we're going to talk about whether or not Jesus actually claimed to be God. So that's next week. That's going to be interesting.
Right. So that should blow this one out of the water.
So anyway, we've talked now about the priority of Sion. We've talked about Constantine and realized that Dan Brown's book is way off on both those things. Now let's get down to it. Mary Magdalene, okay?
Okay. Here's the stuff that really starts getting me is, you know, well, he married Mary Magdalene. He ran off to what, France? And got and had kids, and his descendants are running around the world today.
That'd be crazy.
That would be crazy.
You think they would look like Jesus?
I don't know. You think maybe? I mean, DNA. He made DNA, so they probably would look like him.
You know, people always talk about Jesus. Well, you know, they make statues of Jesus, a white guy. Mm-hmm. It looks kind of weird. If you go to Africa, they have just statues of Jesus as a black guy.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's like, well, actually, you know, he's probably brown-skinned and brown-eyed. And we, you know, the truth is we don't know what he looked like because we don't know what physical traits Jewish people had 2,000 years ago.
Now, the truth is,
they could have been blonde-haired, blue-eyed.
Yeah, truth is, it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't. Anyway, let's get to Mary Magdalene. I keep getting on sidetracks today. All right, Mary Magdalene. Brown says that Jesus and Mary were married and that they had children. And his proofs, he uses two main proofs. Number one, Jewish men were expected to marry.
Uh-huh.
And number two, Brown claims that the best evidence comes from the Gospel of Philip. Now, we're going to examine both of these. What's wrong with this is that this is stupid.
I must have skipped over that book in my Bible.
Hold on, we'll get there. Just chill. All right. All right. First of all, he says the expectation was that Jewish men would get married.
Uh-huh.
Expectations? Jesus went against almost every expectation anyone ever had of him anytime ever.
That's an understatement.
I mean, to think that Jesus did something just because people expected him to is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Even Jesus, the people who don't believe in Jesus as God, look at what he did, and they admit he did everything opposite of what people expected him to do.
And even the people that knew him the best, they didn't know what to expect.
So don't say, well, he probably got married because that's what all good Jewish boys did back then.
Right.
No, you know, he didn't do what all good Jewish boys did. That's the whole point. He was so different.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, plus the Apostle Paul was writing a letter to people in a city called Corinth. And he was talking about his right to get married. Now, I want you to listen. This is in the Bible.
Okay.
The Apostle Paul says, don't we have a right to take a believing wife along with us, just as the other apostles and the Lord's brother and Cephas? That's Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, I want you to notice. He's trying to prove that he is allowed to get married.
Right.
And who does he use as an example? Peter, James, and some of the other preachers. Who does he not use?
Jesus.
He doesn't use Jesus. You would think if Jesus was married, he would have used Jesus as an example.
Yeah, the ultimate example, you would think.
Yeah, I mean, so that's just kind of ridiculous. All right, now the second proof that Brown uses to say that Jesus was married is the Gospel of Philip.
Uh-huh.
The only problem with the Gospel of Philip, not the only problem, my favorite problem, is that it wasn't written by Philip. It wasn't even written by an apostle.
Okay.
Who knew Jesus. The Gospel of Philip was written in the 3rd century, hundreds of years after Jesus.
I thought you were going to say 1956 again.
No. to claim that it is accurate, it's probably not wise.
Uh-huh.
Now, here's the best part. Okay, this is ridiculous. Okay, this is a quote. This is the Da Vinci Code quoting the Gospel of Philip. And here's what it says, the Gospel of Philip says.
Okay.
And the companion of the Savior is Mary Magdalene. Christ loved her more than all the disciples and used to kiss her often on the mouth. The rest of the disciples were offended by it and expressed disapproval. They said to him, why do you love her more than all of us?
Oh, no, the favorite child thing.
Okay, now that's the Gospel of Philip according to the Da Vinci Code. Here's the real deal. Now, I don't even think the Gospel of Philip is a real gospel.
Okay.
It's not even real.
Okay.
But did you know we're actually missing a lot of it? We only have sections. Here's what the Gospel of Philip actually says. And the companion of blank, 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 missing parts.
Okay.
Mary Magdalene, blank, 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 missing parts. Her more than the disciples, blank, 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 missing parts. Kiss her, blank, 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 blank.
So he's just filling in the blanks.
He's filling in blanks with whatever he wants.
Oh, it's the Gospel of Dan Brown.
It's the Gospel of Dan Brown, not the Gospel of Philip, which isn't even a real gospel anyway, which wasn't written by Philip.
Right.
It was done 300 years after Philip. Okay, let me give you an example. This is a real press release by the military.
Okay.
The National Guard, dot, dot, dot. This mission, said Lieutenant General Stephen Blum, dot, 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 referring to, dot, 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 President Bush to use, dot, 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 6,000, dot, 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 security in the Southwest.
Sounds like they use the same writer.
Now, I'm going to fill this in with what I want to fill it
okay.
in with.
This ought to be interesting.
The National Guard has completed this mission, said Stephen Blum's companion. They're referring to the desire of President Bush to use over 6,000 nuclear weapons as security in the Southwest.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh, that's not good. 6,000. Do you know we have 6,000 nuclear weapons? Okay, here's the real one. The National Guard is superbly suited for this mission, announced Blum, referring to the plan announced by President Bush to use 6,000 troops to assist with border security in the Southwest. Oh, that's not nearly as exciting.
You were wrong.
I was way wrong, and Brown was way wrong.
It's not like you.
No, look, he makes up sources.
Uh-huh.
He uses forged documents that people have gotten arrested for. He just pulls things out of thin air. So it's just kind of like, I mean, it's way, way off.
But he does sell a lot of books.
He does sell a lot of books, and it's entertaining.
It is
fun to listen to. It's fun to watch. Here's the conclusion. And the conclusion is what Brown himself has said. Everyone loves a conspiracy.
Uh-huh. They do.
It's true. We love them so much that we throw away our brains when we hear about them.
Definitely.
Yeah, I want people to go read the movie or see the book.
Read
and
the movie
I want
see
you
the
to,
book.
Is that
you
what
said,
I said?
Read the movie and see the book. That's my
throwing
kind
your
of book.
Brain away. I want people
I can look at this book all day long.
I want people to watch the movie
right.
or read the book because it's
I may
semi interesting and
mm-hmm.
people use it as a proof against Christianity. It shouldn't scare us. If someone has something that proves Christianity wrong, let's read it.
Really?
Let's figure it out. Let's see what the evidence says.
Because we want to know the truth and we want to refute untruths.
That's right. And the truth is we don't have anything to fear about the Da Vinci Code.
Mm-hmm.
It's just full of lies, falsehoods. It's a good fiction book. But that's about it. The fact is, it can give us great opportunities to reach out, to talk about Jesus.
Definitely, because people like to talk about stuff like that.
That's right. When was the last time we had such an easy way to open discussion with people?
Really?
So, hey, check out us online, truthrevolution.tv. Listen to our show online, past
mm-hmm.
episodes. Send us some messages or some questions.
Come see us at church today.
10:15 a.m. Revolution Church. I hope you can make it. Have a truth revolution in your life.